Namaste Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, entitled Rahugana, A Converses with Jad Bharat. Text number 2. Yasyam ime san naradeva dasyavaha sartham vilumpanti kunayakam balat gomayavo yatra haranti sarthikam pramatam avishya yatoranam freka. Yasyam ime san naradeva dasyava. Satam vilupanti kunaya kambalat. Gomaya voyatra aranti sathikam. Pramatam avishya yatoranam vrika. Ladies, in which in the forest of material existence. Imagine these Sat, Six, Naradeva, O King, Dasyavaha, the plunderers, Saatham, the conditioned souls who are interested in false ideas, Vilumpanti, plunder, regularly taking away all the possessions, Kunayakam, who are always misguided by so-called gurus or spiritual masters, Balat, by force, Gomayavaha, exactly like foxes, Yatra, in which forest, Aranti, they take away, Saatikam, the conditioned soul who is seeking material profits to maintain the body and soul. Pramatam, who is a crazy man, not knowing his self-interest. Avishya, entering the heart. Yatha, just as. Uranam, nicely protected lambs. Vrikaha, the tigers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. O King Rahugana, in this forest of material existence, there are six very powerful plunderers. When the conditioned soul enters the forest to acquire some material gain, the six plunderers misguide him. Thus, the conditioned merchant does not know how to spend his money, and it is taken away by these plunderers. Like tigers, jackals, and other ferocious animals in a forest that are ready to take away a lamb from the custody of its protector, the wife and children enter the heart of the merchant and plunder him in so many ways. Purport. In the forest there are many plunderers, dacoits, jackals, and tigers. The jackals are compared to one's wife and children. In the dead of night, jackals cry very loudly. And similarly, one's wife and children in this material world also cry like jackals. The children say, "Father, this is wanted. Give me this. I am your dear son." Or the wife says, "I am your dear wife. Please give me this. This is now needed." In this way, one is plundered by the thieves in the forest. Not knowing the aim of human life, one is constantly being misguided. The aim of life is Vishnu. Nate vidu svatagatim hi Vishnam. Everyone works very hard to earn money, but no one knows that his real self-interest is in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of spending money for advancing the Krishna consciousness movement, one spends his hard-earned money on clubs, brothels, liquor, slaughterhouses, and so forth. Due to sinful activities, one becomes implicated in the process of transmigration and thus has to accept one body after another. Being thus absorbed in a distressed condition, one never attains happiness. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano bistam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swapadantikam vanchakalpa tadubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha apatitanam pavanabhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There are many instances in relation to Srila Prabhupada and his sincere disciples. But we'll relate one such incident. One disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and said that I cannot control my mind and senses. I want to leave like that. So Srila Prabhupada told him, you look outside the window. And from the vantage point of that particular place, outside the window, there are many people just walking on the streets. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada told him, you see, so many are walking on the street. You want to, in other words, you cannot control your mind and senses, so you go, you pick one. So he was quite taken aback, because Prabhupada is sort of encouraging him, go, there are so many, go and pick one, like that. So Srila Prabhupada used a spiritual reverse psychology, basically, like that, on him, like that. And then he's telling Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I'm telling you, I cannot control my mind and senses, I want to leave, like that. I want to leave. But Srila Prabhupada insisted, you go and pick one. I am your guru, I am giving you instruction. Like that. So then he realized, something, just by Srila Prabhupada saying like that. So then he asked Srila Prabhupada, why you, not encouraging me, to do that, but why you are speaking, in an humble way, why you are speaking like this? So Srila Prabhupada said, you see, you can just go and pick one. It is that damn cheap. Material life is cheap. Just to give vent to the demands of the senses and the crazy mind is cheap. Like that. So later on, Srila Prabhupada, through another devotee, sent a message to this devotee, because he didn't leave. You know, with such reverse spiritual psychology instructions, he didn't leave. Again. So through the leaders at that time, Srila Prabhupada told him, you tell him, I'll arrange for him a nice wife. And he can get married. Like that. And subsequently that devotee, Srila Prabhupada personally arranged for his entering into the Grihastha Ashram. In that sense, like that. So here, Jad Bharat is not speaking about such a person who is under the protection of the bona fide spiritual master. He is not really speaking about the Grihastha Ashram. He is speaking about the Griha Medhi situation, where there is unrestricted sense enjoyment, and also where there is demands from the family members for the head of the household. Like that. Like, if you love me, you buy me a diamond ring. The love is not important, the diamond ring is important. You know, like that type of thing. See? So this is Griha Medhi stuff. In a Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada said his son, Griheva Vaneto Habe. You know this? A Goranga Abe Dake. A Goranga Bole Dake. Yeah. Here, Narottam Das Thakur is saying, whether one is situated in the forest or whether one is situated in the home, if one is engaged in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya, he is a liberated person. Oh yes, he is a liberated person. So in other words, for one who has controlled his senses, going to the forest to become a yogi is meaningless. Like that. Because the uncontrolled mind and senses are going with him, he cannot achieve anything, even by giving up household life and staying in the forest. He cannot achieve anything. So Srila Prabhupada used to say that formerly many businessmen, mercantile men, because Prabhupada using the word mercantile here too, many businessmen, they, you could say practically the from the upcountry states of India, you know, they used to go to Bengal for some reason or the other. And then Srila Prabhupada used to go, there's a famous saying that when you go to Bengal, your fortune or your forehead goes with you. You can't leave that behind in that sense. So therefore our first concern therefore should be to control the mind and the senses. But it is a common knowledge or common realization, even for devotees, that it is impossible to control the mind and senses in the Kali Yuga. Oh yes. Anyone who claims to have controlled the mind and senses in the Kali Yuga is a bluffer and a cheater and a pretender and a liar. Including brahmacharis and sannyasis. Like that. So therefore, unless one is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, which is our most important duty, and therefore Narada Muni has given the Paribhasa Sutra. Because he is Brahmacharya. Why would he speak like that? Sarva Padi, Sarva Padi, Vinir, Muktam, Tat, Parat, Vena, Nirmalam, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sarvanam, Bhakti, Uchyate. Only when you offer the uncontrolled mind, and at least the crazy mind and the uncontrolled senses, in the sacrifice of the fire of devotional service, then Krishna controls one's mind and senses. On our own effort, it is impossible. Like that. So therefore, instead of going to the forest with uncontrolled senses, it is better and more secure to engage the mind and senses in the service of the Lord. So even household life can do no harm to such a self-controlled person acting in this way. Like that. It cannot force him into material bondage, even in household life. Like that. So therefore Rupa Goswami has nicely enunciated, you know, Iha yasya hare dasya karmana manasa gira nikilash api avastas jivan mukta sa uch yate. In other words, regardless of one's situation or sort of circumstances, if one's activities, including with the mind and words, are fully engaged in the service of the Lord, he is understood to be a jivan mukta, a liberated person, like that. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a responsible officer, and same similarly a responsible householder, like that. And yet his service to the cause of expanding the mission of Lord Chaitanya is super unique. Is super unique. In fact, he is the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada used to say, "Is super unique." So, therefore, the sense organs are certainly our greatest enemies, but they are therefore compared to venomous serpents, like that. However, if this venomous serpent of the sense organs is bereft of its poisonous fangs, it is no longer fearful. Like that. There's no need to fear activities without the venomous situation that was present once in the senses and now it's no more. Like that. So therefore Srila Prabhupada used to wonderfully say that the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, they move within this material world. But because their senses are fully engaged in the service of the Lord, they are always aloof from the material world. And therefore they are always in a transcendental position. We see this practically. That in the formative years of the Krishna consciousness movement, even after Srila Prabhupada winded up his manifest presence, so-called, although he is still present with us in so many ways, like that, even when I joined some 30 years ago, like that, we see that at that time when you want to be a devotee, or when you want to try to be a devotee, in my case, like that, you have to live in the temple. There was not such thing as being a congregation devotee. No such thing. Like that. And even if you are married, you move into the temple with your children. Like that. And we see in those formative years of Krishna consciousness in this late 60s, you know, 70s and early 80s, like that. The devotees, you know, they sacrificed the youth. They sacrificed the young adulthood. And even those who are mother and fathers, they sacrificed time with their own children, with their own wives, with their own husbands. Why? Not because their senses were not under control. Because they were fully engaged in the service of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession, and therefore Shishi Radha Rasa Bihari. Fully engaged. Like that. And we see also, because of such sacrifice, like that, they are never lost. Even if they appear to be lost by sometimes not practicing Krishna consciousness nicely today. But they are never lost. Like that. When there's no hope, Krishna and Srila Prabhupada comes, you know, at the last moment, yes, I am here for you. Because you sacrificed your youth, your young adulthood, and even sacrificed your responsibilities as mother, father, husband and wife for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. So that is a little different from what Jad Bharat is telling King Rahugana here, like that. In fact, bring me Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita book. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, sent one disciple named Shripad Bon Maharaj to London to preach, like that. But we know the history, like that. We know the history. So when Shripad Bon Maharaj was in London, he met one aristocratic gentleman who was linked to the queen and the government. Like that. So when the gentleman asked him, why have you come here? Like that. So Bon Maharaj replied that I have come to make you brahmanas. Like that. So then he asked, what is brahmana? Like that. So he said, brahmana means no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit activity, and no gambling. Like that. So that aristocratic gentleman told him, this is not the place for you. You get out. You live. Like that. So he came back and he was given a warm welcome even by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his senior disciples for having tried. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta appreciated that. So later on Srila Prabhupada commented, where my sannyasi godbrothers failed, my household of devotees in the youth and young adulthood succeeded. And we know the history. He sent three couples practically in the mid-20s. You know? Mother Yamuna and Gurudas, Mother Malati and Shyamasunda Prabhu, and at that time Mukunda Prabhu and Mother Janaki. Yes. And we see the result like that. And he said, they are actually sannyasis. So Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the purport here, very beautiful purport. I always like to refer to this. Recently in Pune I also referred to this. But it doesn't refer to those devotees who sacrifice their youth and young adulthood for Srila Prabhupada's mission to spread Krishna consciousness. They are beyond even sannyas. But Srila Prabhupada is saying one step below and they are still sannyasis of congregation devotees. Devotees in the congregation. He doesn't discuss them who gave everything. Their life, their words, their intelligence, everything. But he says about devotees who live in the congregation, they can also be sannyasis. Even in household life. So wonderful verse from 18th chapter, the perfection of renunciation, which means sannyas. Text number 11. Nahiteha brita sakyam tyaktam karmanyase sata yastu karma phala tyagi satyagiti abhidiyate. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities. But he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. Purport. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that one can never give up work at any time. Therefore, he who works for Krishna and does not enjoy the fruit of results, who offers everything to Krishna, is actually a renouncer. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some place, and whatever they earn, hopefully, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruits should be renounced. Beautiful purport. Otherwise, how we are able to build a temple in Pune? They are sannyasis. They are giving to build a temple in which the dress of a sannyasi and the dress of a brahmachari can enjoy. Living in a temple? It's like that. So, when I came here and they asked me to give class yesterday evening, so when I read that, and in the morning when I came, and one of the first persons who was very affectionate to me, and he always is His Grace Bhakta Rupa Prabhu. Like that. We can see, he's a shining example. Not of a member of the congregation. He's a shining example that once he's given his life to Srila Prabhupada, that's it, no turning back. Shining. So I thought when I'm giving class, I'm remembering him. You know? And also amongst you, there's wonderful devotees. They are not really grihasthas, like Bhima Prabhu and his good wife. They're not grihasthas. In fact, they're sometimes more than sannyasis in our movement. Like that. And then this morning, I've seen wonderful devotees here. I know him for since I've been coming, you know, to India for over 23 years. And His Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu. You see, you know him? Yeah. Wonderful sons. You know, Keshav and Gopal. You know, very chaste wife. I like that. They are not grihasthas. They don't live in the forest of material enjoyment. They are actually more than sannyasis. And then one of my close friends, you can see, Mukunda Madhava Prabhu and his good wife. You know, very simple, very simple. Sometimes I feel they're more simple than brahmacharis, living in the same temple. Like that. And Brajahari was telling me this yesterday about Mukunda Madhava. Such a simple, simple person. He and his good wife, Rajasundari, and so forth. So these are greater than yogis, greater than tapasvis, greater than vairagyas. Like that. And greater than rubber stamped brahmacharis and sannyasis. Oh yes, greater than that. See? I come here, I live in nice guest house room. You go to Mukunda Madhava's ashram, it's different. Like that. Of course, they want to respect and honor sannyasis at the same time. That's the dharma that should be there. But still, we can take so nice association of all these wonderful devotees. Like that. And there are many others right here. Nitaipada Kamala. You know? Food for life. So I met him this morning. I know them for so many years coming here. In fact, most of you are sitting here. You were not here when they working so hard, you know, to maintain the temple, you know, day in, day out for 25, 30 years. So one place, steady in the services. Like that. See? So therefore we should know that the majority of the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement are in the Grihastha or Vanaprastha Ashram. Majority of them. And this is our wealth. Our wealth is devotees irrespective of ashrams. Irrespective of ashrams, our wealth is devotees. Srila Prabhupada, of course, there's many like that. I mean, please forgive me if I didn't mention other names. You know, I can give a whole list of names and it'll take, you know, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki, it's Koti Koti, you know. Many list of names from different temples, different parts of the world. They're not really Grihasthas. They are Vaishnavas. They're beyond this stuff of Varna Ashram. And they're beyond any order of spiritual or occupational. You know, Varna and Ashram, they're beyond that. So forgive me if I didn't mention other names, but you are included. Srila Prabhupada used to say, and they are in keeping with the line of the gopis of Vrindavan. Like that. Srila Prabhupada used to say that when Krishna and the cowherd boys, they went into the pasturing grounds with the cows and the calves and so forth. And he said that when they were coming back in the evening, like that, Srila Prabhupada said that the gopis did not run up to Krishna and say, "Oh, what have you brought for me from the forest? What's in your pockets?" Like that. The gopis never did that. Like that. Because that's the mundane world. A man goes to work, he works so hard, you come back, "What have you brought? Have you brought some chocolates for me, the children and last? Or are you working hard, end of the week? Where's the money?" They demand like that. So Srila Prabhupada said that the gopis never demanded like this. And similarly we see, not in keeping with that, but in keeping with the principle that, you know, when the devotee householder, you know, they work very hard and they may come back home, or they engage in so much services, giving the whole life, you know, like Bhima Prabhu and Bhakta Rupa Prabhu and so many others like that. When they go back to the wives don't ask, "What's in your pocket? What did you bring back?" They don't ask that. They know that, you know, my life is my husband. Because he has given his life to Krishna. like that. And similarly, I should give my life to Krishna. Like that. And that is life. That is eternal life. So practically, our devotees in our Krishna conscious movement are on the level of the gopis. They don't ask like this, what have you brought for me? But they can ask like this, that if a devotee is in household life, or devotees beyond household life in a sense, and when the family members come for a Sunday feast program or come to the temple for the morning program, and when they go back home, the children may ask, did you bring Mahaprasad? That's a little different. That is nice. And I told you to bring me some extra beads so that I can give it to my friends to check. Did you bring the beads? This is what we should be asking. Like that. This is what should be asking. And when you go back home, the family members ask, so what was spoken in the lecture today? What can we benefit from which points in the talk? Tell us. Like that. So this is not Griha Medhi, neither it is Grihastha. It is transcendental atmosphere at home. Just like the gopis. They never ask Krishna, what have you brought for me from the pasturing grounds? You went out for the whole day. They never ask Krishna that. Simply they are waiting to serve Krishna. Like that. And they simply ask that when we serve you, are you pleased or satisfied? That is all. And that's the one question that Srila Prabhupada asked to his spiritual master. How can I please you? This is the sum and substance of every devotee, irrespective of social, spiritual, administrative, management, or whatever position. Every devotee is our wealth in that way. Do you have any comments or questions you'd like to ask? Or make some comments, if you like.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, one more other devotee reminded me of also. His Grace Kapila Prabhu and his family. This is, to run a school, you have to highly pay somebody. You have to pay them practically, lakhs of rupees. You know this? Just to run an education institution. But whatever little he's getting for his maintenance, he's accepting. It's not easy to take care of other people's children, It's not easy to educate other people's children. So I'm just remembering him also, Kapila Prabhu. There's many other devotees, but he and his good family are there also. Tell me, what's your name?
Mukesh Doshi. Mukesh Doshi.
Sriman Doshi, tell me.
Our spiritual body is made up of Satchit Anand. Satchit Anand. Our spiritual body is made up of Satchit Anand. And our subtle body is made up of false ego, intelligence and mind. So whatever the divine knowledge we receive through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, where is it deposited? Whether it is deposited in the mind or the chitta part of the spiritual body?
Your question has nothing to do with the talk.
No, you apparently described about...
It has nothing to do with the talk, yeah. But still, it's an important question in general. Okay. You see, we have a material body that is both gross and subtle. So when you go to a funeral and you see somebody's body in the coffin, what do you see? What do you see in the coffin?
Gross body.
Casket.
Gross body.
Gross body. Where is the subtle body?
It's living on.
Where?
In the subtle dimension.
Yes. So the subtle body carries the samskaras of the activities of the person into another gross body again, which is called reincarnation. That okay?
Right.
Yeah. Now, in the beginning of your question, You use the word spiritual body, Sachidananda Vigraha, like that. In this particular world, we take on the dress of a gross and subtle body. That is considered the bodily conception of life. Like that. But the spirit soul does not wear the dress of a spiritual body. That means the spirit soul and the dress of a spiritual body is different? No.
Same.
The form of the spirit soul is not that the spirit soul takes on a facility of a spiritual form to engage in devotional service. No. Like that. So in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the form of the spirit soul, now this you have to digest. You know, digest? It will take some time to digest. It may take a few lifetimes to also digest this. Srila Prabhupada says that the form of the spirit soul is devotional service. Now, if you do not engage in devotional service, what will you engage in?
Sense gratification.
You will engage in materialistic activities which requires a facility of the gross and subtle body. That is Sachidananda Vigraha. So when we engage in devotional service, we are naturally situated as the form of the spirit soul. Now that requires some digestion. And the moment you are not engaged in devotional service, you'll engage in activities of the body, both gross and subtle. Yes. So when one is engaged in devotional service, even in the material world, one is not of this material world. So therefore, never for any moment do not engage in devotional service. So that is your natural identity, which is the form of the spirit soul. Active engagement in devotional service. Now there is another body, apart from the gross and subtle body, and apart from the form of the spirit soul is devotional service. There is another one, and that is called the form of Vaishnava Aparad. See? Sometimes you'll find devotees, they are engaged in devotional service. Right? But they are not materialistic. In other words, they are not engaged in any material activities. Like that. At the same time, they are not material, and simultaneously they are not spiritual. They are living in their own sphere of the consciousness of offending devotees. Like that. And this does not apply to non-devotees. It applies to those who are so-called devotees. Only offending devotees. At the same time, putting on an external show of doing nice pujari service, of doing nice book distribution, of doing nice management, of doing nice this, nice that. You know? Of being a nice sannyasi externally. No. But inside is like a volcano. It is always erupting in Vaishnava Parada. Like that. And you can see such faces are like Jwalamukhi. You know they are not happy materially and they are not happy spiritually. You can immediately see in face. It's like boiling all the time. So therefore that type should not be there. You might as well be material or be completely spiritual. And in between is a transitional stage, which is called the performance of sadhana bhakti in the proper consciousness, devotional service and practice. So due to this third category that we entertain and that is amongst us, we will never make spiritual progress individually and collectively. And that has to be rooted out. Especially Vaishnava Parad. Like that. Especially Vaishnava Parad. And Srila Prabhupada said, only Vaishnava Aparad can break this institution from within. The non-devotees can never break this institution because they do not know what is Vaishnava Parad. Like that. So therefore that type of body or mentality must be shed, or we should help people to kick out that type of body or mentality. Nice question, but sorry for the other type of answer.
So the second part of my
question. No, we'll give others a chance to also. Sorry, please forgive me, I'm not offending you, I hope. Yeah, if one of the ladies or Matajis have questions, we'll balance it. Anyone? Any of the ladies or Matajis have comment or question? Okay, and okay, all right. What time we meant to, Rajari? Another 10 minutes. All right. Thank you. He's blessing us with more time. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Since you spoke about offenses, I just thought that I'd ask you. You know, in my experience over the years, like you said, I'm finding that devotees complain a lot about devotees, and we try very much to tell people that complaining is also offensive. So I just wanted to confirm that actually it is offensive in that.
Yes, you're asking a question in general, but you're also giving some details of particular case situations. So in particular case situations, the details may vary of how we can help and give a support system to help such people. It may vary in the details. But the general answer is that if somebody really does not have Nama Gana Sada Ruchi, Nama Gana Sada Ruchi, in other words, it's not just Nama Ruchi. If one does not possess affection for the holy name, then one will not possess, you could say, the service mood, which is called Vaishnav Seva. And if one does not have affection for the holy name, which will not lead to serving devotees out of affection, then one will not have in the heart, which is hard, a jivadoya, compassion for others to become devotees. So when devotees complain about each other, the first thing you should ask, how many rounds you have chanted today? And invariably you will find, when you ask such a question, they won't come back and complain to you. Or if they want to come back, then they know you're going to ask the same question again. So they will complete all their chanting of japa and then come to you. And then you'll find, when they ask that question about complaining, it's no more a complaint. It is speaking out of concern for the devotee. So that complaining consciousness is transformed into a consciousness of a friend or a well-wisher for the other devotee. Saying the same words, but you can feel like that. So the whole aspect of this thing is the foundational basis of having affection for Krishna in the form of japa, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. The holy name is the root of everything. And from the root, one will know how to deal with the parts and parcels of the tree. And Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loka, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are parts and parcels of the root cause, which is Krishna, in that sense. We have time for one more question. You always ask question. But it seems like there's a new person in the audience. No, only one more question. He's a new person, you know? You should have some compassion.
Prabhuji, ye subtle body ya gross body ka
kaun hai? Tell me. You know, this could be the beginning of his spiritual practice, so we should.
Prabhuji, ye subtle body ya gross body ko govern kaun karta hai? Chalata kaun hai inko?
Who governs the gross and subtle body? Yes. Yantra Rudrani Mayaya, the material energy, governs the gross and subtle body. The body is machine, and the material energy, Maya, governs the gross and subtle body on behalf of Krishna to reform the soul not to be in Maya again. So, Traman should translate for him. He understood? Okay. So, give him the microphone. Yes.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Now, remember, don't give me a story, chapters. Tell me the question. Precisely. Is that okay? Because you know, devotees' stomach is hungry. You know?
Maharaj, don't you think there is a difference in rendering devotional service to Krishna and rendering loving devotional service to Krishna? Loving.
Mm-hmm. Devotional service to Krishna is devotional. Loving devotional service to Krishna is a repetition of the word loving because it is included in devotional. Is that okay? So you're just repeating the word devotional in the form of the word loving. But sadhana bhakti means devotional service in practice. So when we practice devotional service, the only thing that's in the way for us not to practice nicely is the demands of the mind and the senses. Like that. So when we practice devotional service to engage the mind and senses in devotional service, then it is loving. Is that okay?
Right. Thank you, okay, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. You satisfied? Alright. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Natai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bhagavatam.